Amen. The song says turning away. And when we hear the song, we think of the typical sins, right? Anybody got some sins that they turned away from? Anybody got some sins you still need to turn? No, you don't have to raise your hand. You still need to turn away from. But when we hear it, we think about the typical things. I need to stop smoking. I need to stop drinking too much. I need to stop lying. I need to stop going over to that house that I'm going over to doing the things that I shouldn't be doing. I need to stop cheating. I need to start trusting God more, right? I need to listen to the young lady that was up here saying, stop worrying about stuff you shouldn't be worrying about. But there are some times when you do things that you think are actually good. You think they're even spiritual. And sometimes you need to turn away from that. When we get up here, we don't give you milk. We give you meat. This is the advanced class. Always. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. The scripture reading reminded us today that God doesn't want us to what?
Worry.
He wants us to leave our cares and concerns and burdens at the altar or in your prayer closet. Amen?
Amen?
Today's subject is somewhat related to that, but it goes a little bit deeper. Are you ready to go deeper with me?
Amen.
Some things that you worry about and that weigh you down and burden you down shouldn't have been there in the first place. We're supposed to love, are we not? We're Christians. We're supposed to love.
Amen.
We're supposed to care.
Amen.
You're even supposed to get your hands dirty. You're even supposed to do what's inconvenient. You're supposed to actually get involved in order to make a difference for God and for God's glory. Am I right about that?
Amen.
But how many of you know that you can become overly involved? Overly involved. We're trying to give you equipment as a leader because you need to know this and you need to be able to tell somebody else this beyond just, you know, ask the Lord into your life and now you're saved. You can become overly involved. And the headaches that you get as a result, we caused because we can become overly involved. Did you know that? Did you know that you can sometimes become overly involved or you can overstay your assignment? You can have an assignment and your part is done. You can't squeeze anything more out of that, but you stay anyway. Why? Because you want to be the one to see the change that you want to see. Forget about God's sovereignty. Forget about what he told you to do and the fact that you've already done it. Now, heaven forbid you're there and you weren't supposed to be there in the first place. Heaven forbid you putting your nose where it really don't belong. That happens too with Christians and with religious justifications. But we're talking about the burdens that we bear that we shouldn't be bearing because we get overly involved or we overstay our assignment. I'm going to try to give us enough credit for most of the time not being where we shouldn't even be in the first place. Amen?
Amen?
But these are headaches we don't have to have. These are burdens we don't have to bear is what we're talking about. Now, why do we do all these things? Why do we get involved and then get overly involved or stay too long? We would say, and it's probably fair to say, that it's because we care. How many of you care? You care about people, you care about their burdens, you care about their problems, right? You want things to be better, and so you get involved, sometimes on your own, sometimes because God has sent you on an assignment, but we can get overly involved. We can stay longer than we were assigned to stay, and it can get to a point where it's not about God anymore. It's not even about that person or their problems anymore. It becomes about us. You can call that religious or spiritual pride if we need a label. But we go too far. We stay too long. We're going to evaluate this situation by looking at Paul's situation. Rome was the capital of the entire empire. And Paul wanted to go there desperately, badly. He wanted to go to the capital. And he couldn't get there fast enough. And so because of that, he wrote the book, what we call the book of Romans. It actually was a letter, a very structured letter. Because he wanted them to have the full gospel. And he couldn't wait for him to get there. He didn't plant that church like he planted so many others. But he wanted them to have the truth. And he broke it down from the beginning of every single person that's been on earth actually has had the ability to know that God exists and that he's real. There is nobody that has an excuse. He started there and then he went into more, even more complex issues, if you will. He was desperate to get to them. The question is, why was he so desperate? Paul's calling was to whom? To the Gentiles. There we go. He was on his way up to Northern Asia, and he got a call from Macedonia saying, come to us. God told him, the Gentiles are the one I'm calling you to. And yet, if you read many of the books, and Romans in particular, he spent a disproportionate amount of time and energy worrying about the Israelites, worrying about the Jews. Who did God call him to? What was his assignment? But he spent an inordinate amount of time, energy, and effort being preoccupied, overly involved, with the issue of the Jews. God was dealing with the Jews before Paul was ever thought of. God is the one that went to Abraham. God is the one that declared that it was going to go through Isaac and then through Jacob, who was named Israel. This was God's plan. God is sovereign. God can handle this by himself. And God cares more about Israel than any of us could. But Paul spent an inordinate amount of time and attention on the Jews. Why? Because he cared. But the question on the table this morning is, can you care too much? Can you care too much? Now, this is a pastor preaching from the pulpit to Christians, and we're supposed to be about agape love and caring, and yet I'm saying, because I'm supposed to, can you care too much? Somebody can get overly spiritual and start to judge me. I'm not saying that you guys are, but how can you care too much? How can you have too much love? I didn't say you could have too much love. I said you can care too much. You can love somebody so much that you get out of their space because you should. That could be your manifestation of your love. And your staying is not a manifestation of your love. That's about you. You're smothering them. That's about you. That's not about them. That's about you wanting to see the change. You wanting to control what's going on. You wanting to be there to see what's going on so you can say what you got to say because you want the outcome you want to see. And you don't think God can do it all by himself. Can you care too much? And I'm giving... That's nice to say you're caring too much. That's the nice version. Because really, that's not what it is. It's really not caring too much. It goes beyond caring too much to control needs. So our text will be in the book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. The question on the table is, can you care too much? Paul is writing to the Romans and giving them everything he's got. But for a section here, the section that we're looking at, he starts to actually preach to himself. He's working it out. You know how you talk yourself through something? That's exactly what he's doing. But you got to pay attention to notice that, otherwise you get all stuck in the doctrinal stuff. He's just said, and earlier in the chapter, he's already said, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. He's already said in this particular chapter that we are more in all these things. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. In the midst of the situation, you're not barely making it. It's a blowout, baby. They should have called the game at halftime. In the midst of your troubles. That's how we're rolling. And yet, after all of that, all things work together for good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We are more than conquerors. In the midst of all of that, Paul was still stricken with the affliction of caring too much. Did you know that? You'll know after today if you didn't. Let's look at verse 1. He has just finished saying, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." This is what he's just said. Pause. And then he breaks out in chapter 9, verse 1, and here's what he says. He says, "I say," this is after he said all those victorious things, "I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." What is he saying there? I believe you, me. I swear to goodness, my conscience is clean on this issue. You've got to believe me. Now, when somebody talks like that, you expect something big, don't you? When somebody goes through all that trouble to convince you that what they're about to say is legitimate and real, that they mean it. Really, I'm trying to tell you, I mean this. If I say something like that, you're like, "Whoa, what's he about to drop on me?" I mean, he goes to the extremes. He says all this stuff and then takes a deep breath. "I'm telling you the truth in Christ." He's telling you, "I am not lying in what I'm about to say." I mean, that's quite a bit. I'm writing to you, right? I'm a spiritual father. You know, I'm leading the Gentile church, development of the Gentile church. And I got to stop and pause after all that and tell you, I'm not lying. My conscience is clear on what I'm about to tell you. It better be good. He says in verse 2, read it for me.
"That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart."
So, seriously now, you've got to believe what I'm about to tell you. You might not believe it. That's why I'm telling you all this really, 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 for real, though. "That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." Now, who wrote the scripture that Sister Madison just read? It came out of Philippians. Who wrote it? Paul wrote it. So we're talking about the same person that said, "Be careful or worry about nothing, but take it all to God, and he'll give you peace that passes all understanding." And yet, he's telling you here that he has great heaviness and continual sorrow. Do you see a contradiction? Do you see an irony? Same man, same pen, contradictory comments. Now, he does not mean to be hypocritical. He's not trying to be hypocritical. It's just that he was human. And he really, really, really cared about something. He cared about it so much that even though he's telling you don't worry about anything, he's telling you he's weighted down, not just sometimes, continually about something. We will find, we will be busy, too busy for some things. We will give excuses for some things. But the things that matter most to us, we will find room in our lives for it. We will find time to twist ourselves into pretzels. If you just knew half of the things that people give you an excuse why they can't do what they're supposed to do, so they can do. We make room for the things that matter the most to us. Many of us drove long distances today because this was what you really wanted to do. Now, that don't mean your flesh wanted to do it every time. But in the end, the decision that you made, you counted up all the costs. I don't know all the reasons why you came here. But when you added it all up, in the end, this was what you ultimately wanted to do. Now, we don't always have the best reasons, but in the end, it don't matter. You will be found doing the thing that ultimately mattered the most to you at the time. And so Paul found himself not being hypocritical. He meant what he said. First of all, he wrote Philippians later. He was in a jail. He wrote that after he said, I have learned in all of these things therewith to be content. I have learned. He didn't get it from some magical some dispensation that just fell with the Holy Ghost. He learned that. So when he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, I can be hungry, I can be full. I can be up, I can be down. None of those things are going to stop me. All right, do not disturb. It's a setting. Amen. Woo. So he didn't mean to be hypocritical. He was just human, just like us. And he really cared. Amen?
Amen.
Because people do what? What they really want to do. Let's go to verse 3. Read it for me. Wow. So I'm about to say something that you won't believe because I'm Paul. And I'm going to tell you in so many ways why you need to believe me, why I'm not lying to you, why it's the truth. And the thing I want to break down to you is that I'm constantly weighted down. I'm constantly burdened. I'm constantly carrying around this issue. And the issue is this. I wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Do you know what he's saying there? I wish that I were accursed from Christ. That word from is apo, which means away from, separated from. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So Paul is called to the Gentiles, but what does he care the most about? The Jews. He's called to the Gentiles. There's nothing wrong with the Jews hearing what he has to say and accepting the word and accepting Jesus. A few of them did. But he was constantly haunted by the fact that his people, the Jews, very few of them would hear the message and receive it. And even when they did, they caused him more trouble almost than it was worth. But it didn't stop him from caring so much about the Jews that he said, amen, what he said. He had a continual preoccupation with the plight of the Jews, as he put it, his kinsmen according to the flesh. Now, he cared about them to some extent because he identified with them. He was a Jew of Jews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he himself actually fought against Christendom, never received it in the beginning, but he had seen the light. And so, just like us, when you see the light, you desperately want to get others that are in the situation you used to be in out of it. If you're a prostitute and you leave that life, that life and get out of that life and start to live a better life, you have this thing inside of you that wants to grab every prostitute and get her out. If you're in drugs and you come off, you feel bad about those who are still stuck in that drug and drug lifestyle. Amen. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
How about if you're in an abusive relationship? Some of us have been in abusive relationships. When you finally get the nerve, when you finally figure out you're valuable enough, when you finally open your eyes and realize you don't deserve that, when you finally see a life beyond it and move on, it hurts you to your soul to watch somebody else languish in a relationship like that. It can turn on a passion that could be part of your purpose in life. Because it just kills you, because you identify, because you've been there, because you know why their mind is so wrapped up and why they're so fearful, why they're so they feel they're so worthless and why they're afraid to leave and why they won't leave. So there are times when you can care so much because you identify, and this is what happened with Paul. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you were broke. Maybe you were in debt at one point, and you're not anymore. Maybe you used to be chasing pennies and now hundreds and thousands are chasing you. Maybe you didn't have a job and now you're getting all these bonuses and the money is chasing you. You used to buy things on credit at high interest and now you're paying everything cash. Now things used to own you. Your things used to own you and now you own them. You desperately want to help somebody else out of that situation. My point is, it's understandable from a human level why Paul would do this, but he's still contradicting his own words. He's still carrying a burden that he did not need to carry, and God did not ask him to carry. What burden are you carrying that God didn't ask you to carry? What situation are you over-involved with that you shouldn't be, and now you got headaches that you shouldn't have? What assignment have you overstayed and now you're bearing the burden and you get on the phone and complain about it and the problem, the source of the problem is actually us? This is important stuff. It is human nature to care. And unfortunately, we get over involved.
Amen?
We need to know which assignments are ours. Do you know your assignments versus somebody else's? We need to know how long to stay, and we need to know when to go. We need to know when to keep it pushing. We need to know when to move on, because you can find yourself caring too much. Amen? Now, let's go back to what Paul said specifically. Now, I've just told you that he cared too much, and I've told you that we could care too much. It's an over-identification. You really empathize with the person, not just sympathize, but you empathize because you've been there, and you desperately want them out of it. But in Paul's case, it wasn't just that. It was also that he identified as a Jew. I've got all these Gentiles coming to the Lord, but what about my Jewish brethren? According to the flesh. But here's what he says that's kind of mind-blowing. He says, I'd be willing to give up my salvation. I'd be willing to give up my salvation if it means the salvation of the Jews. This is why he says, I'm not lying. My conscience is clear on this. Really, really, really believe me, because what I'm about to tell you is going to blow your mind. One, I'm weighted down constantly. This is Paul. Did you know? You had no idea. I preach all these sermons. I have all this knowledge and wisdom and all this leadership capability. But little did you know, on the inside, I'm hurting constantly. Why? Because some people are going to hell? No. In my case, my burden is about my people. God didn't tell me that any more than he told Peter to only care about the Jews. He tried to give him Cornelius. He gave him all these other reasons to understand that he cares about the Gentile too, but Peter still got stuck. We can get stuck even though we are knowledgeable Christians. We can get stuck on the stuff that matters to us. In this case, it was Jews. For some folks, it's black folks. For some folks, it's white folks. Ain't nothing wrong with me caring about my people. You can go too far with that. Amen?
Amen.
And this was his issue. He said he'd be willing. Now, this is going too far. I'd be willing to give up my salvation. I'd be willing to give up my relationship with God. I'd rather be accursed, separated from Christ. I'd rather go to hell if it meant. Now, I've told you before, and it's true, I would give up my life for my children or my wife in a heartbeat before you ask me. But I'm not giving up my salvation for anybody. Even Jesus went down to, he died on the cross for us. He said he'd do that. But he wasn't going to stay dead for you. He went down into hell to snatch those keys. He went to hell for you, but he ain't staying in hell for you. But Paul here says, I'd give up my salvation, which means I will burn in hell for eternity if my people could get saved. Are you kidding me? God of the universe would not do that. He loved you enough to come down here to be in this flesh, but he wasn't going to stay in the flesh. He cared too much. He was over-involved. This was between God and Abraham. This was between God and each individual. It was all going to work together for the good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. You can be Paul and you can get it twisted and forget about the sovereignty of God. You can get overly involved. I would give up my salvation now. I would go to hell. Jesus died for me. He died for all of us, one at a time, each individual. I would spit in the face of that if I would get what I want, which is for my people to be saved. Now, whose people are they anyway? But he was focusing on his people in the flesh. Think about that now. So your people, who what people? Remember that? You people? Who are you people? Black people? You people, women? You remember that? So if you go that far, are you saying, well, my people, women? My people, Palmdale folks? My people, black people? My people, white people? What is it? Is there any subset that would be worth, that would justify your going that far? And yet Paul did this. He was willing to contradict himself and say, I'm weighted down, not sometimes, constantly, with a heavy weight. I'm worried about my people. I'd be willing to give up my salvation if it would get these Jews to accept Christ. Come on now. This may not make you shout hallelujah, but it's giving you something that you need. He was over-involved. He cared too much. But it wasn't for lack of knowledge. He knew better, but he wanted a different outcome. So he chose the burden. And so when you get overly involved, when you overstay your welcome, or rather your assignment, it won't be because you don't know. You choose that burden. He knew better, and we know better. We stay because we want to see a different outcome. It's the outcome we want to see. Do you think that Jesus came down here to die so that so that we can go to hell? No. But can you care more than him? He did what he could. And he's available to all. But not all are going to answer the call. Not everybody are the called according to his purpose. Amen?
Amen.
So he chose that continuous burden that he told them about. Let's go to verse 4 through 6 real quick. I'm going to get you out of here early today. Can you say amen to that? Because he knew better. This is the point. I'm trying to drive the point home so that you can understand and identify with it that Paul really did go overboard. He said he would give his own salvation up. The salvation, the part of the blood that Jesus shed for him, he would be willing to turn his back on that. All because of his decision about his connection to the people that God told him, no, don't go talk to them. Go over here. Every city that he went into, he was called to the Gentiles, but he stopped off in the synagogue and gave all that he had trying to get the Jews to listen to him. And a few did. And it was a lot listening to him. Then they got mad at him because all the Gentiles listened to him and they wanted it all to themselves. So they got upset with Paul. And then he'd leave and go to another city, and then they'd follow him to that city and drive him out of that city. It wasn't even worth it. And I guess as a pastor, I'm supposed to say, well, even one soul was worth it. But it caused him a lot of headaches. And this continual burden, the very kind of burden that he tells us not to weigh ourselves down with. But he says in verses 4 through 6, now remember, in the full context, he says, for I could wish that myself were cursed, I'd give up my own salvation in Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And now he's still talking about them, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, those Israelites, and the glory, those Israelites, and the covenants, those Israelites, and the giving of the law, those Israelites, and the service of God, meaning the worship of God was given to them, those Israelites, and the promises, those are the ones that descended from Abraham, not Abraham alone, because you got to go through Isaac and Jacob because the rest of them didn't get that promise. That's who I'd be willing to give up my salvation for, that group. That group. Now, Abraham went to Isaac, but it also went to Ishmael, and Abraham was married to Fatima later in his life, so he had other kids, but those are not the ones I'd be willing to give my life up for, my salvation, only the Jews. My kinsmen according to the flesh, those are the ones I'd be willing to give up my salvation for. Now, if you're going to go that far, if you're going to be God like that, then be God like that then. Go all the way. But no, it was because there was something that mattered to him. He was revealing his inner truth. It was the Jews that he cared about. There's people on this earth like that now. That if it was up to them, everybody in heaven would look like them. Mm-hmm. And they'll find scripture to back it up. Out of context, of course. But it's the Jews. Not the Ishmaelites. Not the ones that came from Not any of the people that came from Esau, only Jacob. These are the ones he's willing to give up his salvation for. He's over-involved. He's gone too far. He says, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came? It's true. Who is he talking about? The ones that Jesus came to address first. And they, of course, didn't receive him, and so that gave the Gentiles a chance. That was already prophesied, Paul. Now you know this. You know the Old Testament, backwards and forward. You're a Jew of Jew. You were at the foot of Gamaliel. You know all this stuff. You know it was prophesied. What are you talking about? You're going too far. You're trying to care more than God cares. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, talking about Christ, God blessed forever. Amen. Now we need verse 6 to wrap it up though. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. So it's not as though the word of God came and it didn't do what it was supposed to do. It's not as if you did your assignment and what you were supposed to effect hasn't occurred. You just don't like the part of the assignment you got. You just don't like the outcome that you got. You were supposed to be planting. You were supposed to be watering. But you insist on digging your heels in, staying until you see the increase that you want to see. He says, not as though the word of God taketh none effect. For they are not all, now he's preaching to himself. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So it's not like the word of God hasn't done what it was supposed to do, but some folks are never going to listen to you. Did you know that? Some folks are not going to hear you. Some folks don't like your message, and some folks can't see past the messenger. But God chose the messenger. So if they can't get past it, they had a problem anyway. They had a problem anyway. So he's saying it's not, this is when he's beginning. He's told you his problem. He's told you his weakness. He's told you who he's weak for. We can be weak for folks. Did you know that? We can sin all day long, all because, oh, I just love her too much. Oh, she's just too fine. Oh, she's just too good to me. And wrong as the day is long. Wrong as two left shoes. Could I keep going? Just wrong. But there's a reason, for whatever reason, you just can't stop going over there. You can't stop doing that thing. It's not that the word of God is none effect. You weren't one of those that were ever going to hear it. Some folks can't hear you. Some abused people ain't never going to leave. Some are going to die with the bottle in their hand. Or the needle in their arm. Some have so much resentment and pride against the people that were supposed to bring them up. Something happened, they were imperfect, and so they've decided this devil out here is better than the devil I'm still resenting back at home because my parents were imperfect somehow. You can allow yourself to languish in mess all because of stuff you can't resolve over imperfect. So he says, it's not that the word has taken none effect. No. Actually, the answer is, he's preaching to himself. He says, well, what it comes down to, I'm talking about Israel in the flesh. But the answer as to who will answer to the word of God, who will actually give their lives over and accept the salvation, is based on who's Israel in the heart. He knew this, and he still was stuck on his kinsmen according to what? The flesh. It's not for lack of knowledge. That's why I could preach, and I think I preach pretty, I give you good word. Maybe you won't realize it until I'm gone. He knew. You can preach hard. You can rightly divide. The word of truth is going to land, and some folks, it's never going to truly move them. It's not because you didn't try hard. It's not because you weren't saying the right thing. It's because they were never going to hear you. And it has nothing to do with you. So getting overly involved ain't going to solve it. Staying too long ain't going to solve it. Putting all your energy and your effort into them, this is the real moral of this whole story, takes your time and energy and resources away from those who are waiting for you. Those who will hear you, those Gentiles that he couldn't get to because he's worried about the Jews and running from city to city. How many could you have saved if you didn't have to run from the Jews that you're worried about so much? Amen. Continuing to try to do your original planned assignment instead of the one that God told you to. He's preaching to himself. He says, well, it's not that the word is of none effect. Actually, what it comes down to is, I just told you I care about the kinsmen, the Jewish in the flesh, but I know the real Jews is not about circumcision of the flesh. It's about circumcision of the heart. So I know I'm wrong on this. And yet, blow your mind, I'm still weighted down by it. I don't know if this probably wasn't his thorn in the flesh. It's probably something else. But just know, he was carrying this around. It was by his choice. He was carrying this around because of what he cared about that God never told him to care about. You think God needs him to care about that? Look at the book of Revelation. It talks about how it's going to go down in the end with the Jews. He didn't need Paul for that. He called it to the Gentiles. They rejected me, Paul. They didn't reject you. What's this got to do with you? Oh, but your kinsmen in the flesh. But you know it ain't about the flesh. But you still let it weigh you down. Even though you tell us, be careful for nothing. You let this thing weigh you down. I know some of us have been studying the book of Romans. Did you see this in there? Nope. You gotta pay attention. That doesn't mean you're not trying to pay attention. You don't get it the first time. I've read the Bible multiple times over. You've got to really be, okay, pay attention. This dude just said he'll give up his salvation for these folks. Only his people in the flesh now, even though he knows better. Wow. But we get caught up in the doctrinal stuff. Ooh, he said that. Oh, really? Ooh. Right, what did he say? Neither height nor depth. Oh, yeah, it's no depths or any such thing. Any other creature is separated from the love of God. And we just read right past this until we get the part, you know, the good part. But the dude said, he stopped, took a deep breath and paused and said, let me break it down to you. You won't believe what I'm about to tell you. He's sounding the alarm. And we read right past it. He said, I swear to goodness, really, you won't believe this. We read right past that. Whoa, so what did he say? Whoa, he talking like that? He says, I got continual sorrow, heaviness continuously. Why? Over the Jews, my people. Whoa. And let me just, in case you're wondering, the people from Abraham and then Isaac and then to Jacob, those people that the promises, that the services of God, all the temple, those people, so there's no confusion. That's who I'm talking about. That's who I have this burden for, my people in the flesh. It's not because the word is of none effect. It's that I choose to think of Israel in a way other than God does. And I'm Paul, by the way. He knew it wasn't about that. And yet he banged his head against that same wall over and over again. And sometimes we do too. We bang our heads against that same wall. When I was preparing this message, I'm almost done. I thought about the guys will understand this maybe a little bit more than women. I don't know. The commercial that says, you know, you're crazy if you stick with cable. You should be going to DirecTV. You know what I'm talking about now? You know the commercial? It's, you know the people, they're so crazy. They're the people that they go through the turnstile and they get stuck. They just love turnstiles that get stuck. You know what I'm saying? They love turnstiles that get stuck. They love carrying their groceries and they're almost in the house and the grocery bag is wet and all the groceries end up on the floor. They're like, woo, hallelujah. I just love it when my groceries fall on the floor. I'm just that crazy. That's why I stay with cable. And all they, boy, they love hot coffee on them. I mean, who doesn't love that, right? Well, who? It's the people that stay with cable. They're crazy is what it is and what it comes down to. Or the people who they have this low beam in their house and they all constantly bumping their head against it. Well, not on accident. The people that stick with cable, they love it. Bang, bang. They got the other one where y'all squeezed into a subway. Oh, I just love this. This is so great. That's what I thought about. Because Paul kept banging his head against that wall, and we do the same thing. Some of us like to be needed. Some of us have a hero complex. So we can't let go because we still are made to feel like we're needed. And others just have control issues. You want the outcome to be what you want. You're not willing to let God's sovereignty reign and rule the day. You want to do God's job. I'm helping somebody. because somebody's overly involved. Somebody's overstayed their assignment. Now, in the commercial, it's funny. The bags breaking, that's so funny. Because she's like, yes. Yes, the guy in the turnstile, he's like, yes. It's funny in the commercial, but it's not funny in life. Why is it not funny? I'm trying to teach you that you can care too much, and it becomes less about God and less about the person, and ultimately about you, so you need to stop it. But what I could get even more passionate about and what the message is really about is to get you not just to stop that, not to stop having the God complex, not just to stop having the control issues, not just to have the hero complex, not just to look good or to please people instead of God. That's really not my main objective. My main objective is to get you freed up so you can do what you really need to do. Somebody, you say you care so much. You're so overly involved, taking up all your time, your energy, your efforts, your money, all of that stuff, when somebody else is dying for what you have. They are willing to hear from you, but you won't leave the one that won't listen. You're still spending your time on this assignment that only God can deal with, and guess what? They may never come around. They may never come around because it ain't between you and them. It's between God and them. But you stay, dig your heels in, I'm going to see that fruit. So you keep watering that tree. And it doesn't bear any fruit. And the trees that were going to bear fruit go without the water. And you are the waterer. You make that choice, not God. So my fervent request, what I'm trying to get you to see, is that you're wasting some of God's time, some of God's breaths, some of God's resources on old assignments or places you shouldn't have been in the first place, or you're going so deep that you're so tied up in a pretzel, you don't have the wherewithal to help nobody. Because guess what? You weighted down. Ooh, you don't know, why are you so weighted down? With problems that aren't even yours. Assignments that have nothing to do with you or nothing to do with you anymore. It's funny in the commercials. It's not funny in real life. It's not funny in ministry. You can't care more than God does. And I'm not saying you shouldn't try to care more than God does, although you shouldn't. I'm telling you, you can't. God admitted that he created us and he loved us, and some are going, hell will not be empty. And it's going to be full of some folks that you know and some folks that you love and some folks that you tried to help. Here's the key. You don't want it to be anybody. You don't want any pain, any anguish, any lack of knowledge, any going to hell to be related to somebody you were supposed to get to while you were spending all your time over here focused on something that you weren't supposed to. You can't care more than God. I'm telling you, don't try to care more than God, and I'm telling you, you can't, so you can stop banging your head against that wall. And when we try to, when we get to that point, it's because we're out of balance. It's too much of us and not enough God. So if you're ever tempted to question God's sovereignty or to say that, well, it's not right. It's not right for me to give up. That's not the Christian thing to do. God didn't give up on me. Why would I give up on this person? I'm just going to ask you again. What about the person that you're supposed to be ministering to? Why can't you care about them? Why can't we care about them? So when you get frustrated, when you feel like you're not, you know, your watering isn't bearing any fruit, it's probably because that tree is not going to bear any fruit, not while you're watching it at least. And move on to the tree that God's called you to. Your heart has to break for the person who does need you and who will hear you, but you can't help them if you don't go to them. If you don't figure out when to leave and keep it pushing, when to move on. So how much do you care about those people who are desperately waiting? How much do you care about those assignments that are waiting for you? We sit at the train station waiting for somebody to show up. They ain't going to show up. And the train itself is full of folks who could hear from you. And the destination has people waiting desperately for your gifts. What about those people? That's who I'm really up here advocating for. God doesn't need me to tell you, stop trying to be God, even though he told me to do it. But more importantly, what he really wants you to hear is that he's called you, he's equipped you to do something. And if you of your own accord are stuck because you caught up in stuff that you chose, that's spiritual and religious arrogance and pride, stubbornness. Let's love the people that we haven't met yet. Let's love the people that are really desperate for what we have and will receive it. If you have a lot and you're humble and caring and giving, they will see you as someone who has a lot that is caring and giving. They're not going to hate on you anyway. Some of us are still wasting our time on folks that are never going to appreciate it. They're not going to. Don't be overly involved, folks. Not for your own reasons. Let's let God be God. Yeah.